You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. It's a really exciting one this week. So on today's show, I'm joined by Rebecca Lisi to talk about the wonderful topic about how to look after male business owners, which is a topic that we're really, really excited about. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming Rebecca after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in today, we're talking about a really, really important topic here about how to look after male business owners. And to do that, we're joined by the wonderful Rebecca Lisi, who is a local therapist, mental health expert, and really does some amazing work. So let's start by introducing Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ben. It's great to be here. It's real pleasure to get to have this chat with you. So thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you so much. For those who aren't fortunate enough to know you and your business, Rebecca, introduce yourself and indeed your business.
So my name's Rebecca Lisi. I'm a fully qualified psychotherapist and mental health trainer. I qualified as a therapist around 2015. And since then, I've been fortunate enough to work in private practice, seeing clients one-to-one for personal therapy. I've also worked in various hospitals, NHS, schools. So it's been quite a varied journey, really, to get me to where I am now, which is basically running my own business. I'm based here in Wantage in Oxfordshire, and I have a private practice where I see my clients for one-to-one therapy. And I also do, which is my favourite part, actually, is corporate mental health training. So I'm really passionate about going into businesses and effectively teaching very practical, down-to-earth stress management techniques based on my own research, the very many hours I've spent with clients, and just actually making some of this sort of mental health stuff a lot more accessible in the workplace.
Amazing, amazing. Lots to talk about over the next hour. Yeah. But before that, the only non-business related thing we're talking about this morning is you need to be a DJ for a moment. So what is the song you've chosen for our listeners and why have you picked it?
This is really tricky, isn't it? But I love Guns N' Roses. And I think one of the great ways for me to start my day is just to bosh out a song that I can just let my hair down to with no judgment. So I've chosen Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Good song choice, Rebecca. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Rebecca Lisi, who is a Wantage-based therapist who does some amazing work with businesses and individuals all around the world of mental health. And today we're talking about how to look after male business owners. The reason why we've picked that topic is because actually we've had lots of shows about mental health, and actually a conversation that Rebecca and I had was very much around that being the owner of a owner-managed business is tough. Being a male owner of an owner-managed business is a challenging sector, and individuals who may not talk about their challenges. So we're putting together a radio show for that. So Rebecca, let's just start with a big question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
How do we look after male business owners?
Well, I think the main thing is to start by having conversations like these, actually, and reducing some of the stigma around mental health, especially for men, and especially for men who are in business, I think we can all agree that there's definitely a sort of pressure from the outside to for us all, and I experience this as a female business owner, to be, doing well, to have everything under control, to be managing our business, our lives, our finances, our health. And there doesn't feel like there's a lot of room for any vulnerability in that space. Certainly, my experience as a therapist, when I've had clients coming to me for one-to-one, is there seems to be a disconnect from the conversations that we're having in the therapy room to and the conversations that are allowed to happen in the bigger space. I think we're getting closer to being allowing our vulnerability effectively to come through as business owners. But I think there's a hell of a lot more work to be done. And I think the first step is talking about it, and making it one of those subjects that isn't so taboo, that isn't associated with words like failure or weakness or not good enough, and actually just allowing space for, this being a time that is particularly difficult given everything that's going on economically. And then the personal challenges on top and how we all navigate those individually. So firstly, I would say talking about it, which is great, and I'm really happy to be doing that. I also would say just connection is a really big one. So one of the things I really enjoyed about when we first chatted was I felt, we both had our own histories, we both had our own stories, and we were able to sort of connect on a level whereby there was some kind of understanding of a past that's brought us to where we are now and who we are now. And I think that there's a lot more space for that as well, actually. So, one of the things for me being a therapist is, I've been on my own journey in therapy. And that sort of being in that vulnerable space has allowed me now to hold space for other people. And I think that there's connection there. So I think if we can find other people who are in similar situations to us, who we feel that we can form that sort of genuine connection with, that we don't necessarily need to be holding this shield of perfection and high performance, that we can let that guard down and actually just go, oh my God, what's going on with you? I think there's so much to be said for finding that space, whatever that looks like for you, but carving that out for yourself.
No, some really, really interesting points. So something you touched on right at the start of that was society and success and failure. And I think that it's widely reported, isn't it? The Instagram lifestyle. But actually, I think one of the things that is less reported is LinkedIn. I think that we all see so many posts on LinkedIn where you have a percentage who have the most successful business in the world, is making the most money, having the nicest cars and the nicest lifestyle. And then you also have that percentage who do an amazing job of talking about their mental health challenges, of saying it's tough, for putting their hand up and asking for help. But I do wonder whether is there an argument to say that there's a lot that are suffering silently, that see people that are wrongly with this mindset, but see people that are having real challenges and think, oh, I don't have it as bad. I don't have the right to be upset. But then seeing all of these really successful businesses and business people that are so much more successful than them, is do you think that's a real challenge? And how do you deal with that?
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Absolutely, it's a challenge. It's really interesting because I would say the number one thing that my clients bring to me is that they don't want to be a burden on anyone else. And that's the key. So actually, when it comes to people who come to make space for themselves, either in therapy or in some sort of mental health training, it's usually because they've reached a point where, okay, I don't want to burden other people with my problems. This isn't necessarily something that's appropriate to put on social media. It's not necessarily something that I can bring home to my family because, we all have a different dynamic at home. And so this idea of people suffering in silence is huge. I mean, the statistics suggest that, a lot more men are dying by suicide than women. And that sort of speaks volumes. We also know that men are less likely to access mental health services, although actually the research suggests that they're less inclined to return to services made the initial contact, which speaks to me more about the service than it does the individual accessing it. And that makes me think about what sort of spaces are we creating for men to access. I think counselling and therapy has always been very typically a sort of women's thing. Sometimes people sort of think, oh, is it going to be very, hand on the head? How are you feeling? And, that's something that I'm really passionate about in the way that I work is actually creating a very neutral space, which isn't a female sort of comfortable women chatting environment, if that makes sense. But
Absolutely.
so going back to your original question about LinkedIn and what we see on social media, I mean, it's such an influencer in terms of our mental health. And we see that across the board. We see it in our young people, and we see it in our see it in everybody. And I myself, I've looked on there before and thought, crikey, all this is going on. And one can't help but reflect on your own process and in times compare. But I think it's so important to be able to withdraw from that and actually going back to what I said earlier, finding a space where you can really truly connect with people on a level that feels authentic for you. So that we can manage, we're all posting on social media, we're all, going to be running our businesses in terms of wanting to be visible online, and that's fine, so long as we're able to balance it with something that feels more connected, in our sort of real lives, if you like. Does that make
Absolutely.
sense?
Yeah, no, very much so. And I think it's really, really interesting, isn't it? Is that getting that balance right, and we're probably moving away from mental health for a moment here, but I think getting that balance right in terms of being really relatable, but making yourself attractive to potential clients, but also being really real and actually being aware of the people around you, because actually nobody wants to make it worse for anyone else. And it's a really interesting balance to have there, isn't it? In terms of when clients come to you, do you see that there is often a trigger point? I appreciate that there isn't necessarily a one size fits all, but do you find that there is a trigger point for it to happen, or do you believe that there is a point where there should be a trigger point for it to happen?
I, for the most part, see people when they're in crisis, unfortunately. And that is, yes, very much triggered by a burnout situation. So that can look like, if we're talking about business owners, for example, that can be the constant demand of the work, not being able to take enough breaks, not being able to fully detach from the demands of the work. And that's unsustainable for anybody. That's not about being mentally resilient or strong. That it's just unsustainable as a human. And I think that's one of the things that I see primarily in my work. I also work a lot with relationship breakdowns. And there's multiple factors involved in that. The one of the things that I'm really passionate about doing is actually supporting people to understand their nervous systems. So, once we can understand how our bodies work and in relation to the mind, we put ourselves in a very different position in terms of being able to manage our stress. And so, specifically in my mental health workshops that I take into the workplace, it's very much focused on the individual and their nervous system, and actually teaching people to get in touch with those feelings. And a lot of it can be physical. So, another reason why people will come to therapy is because they are in pain. They might be having something psychosomatic, and it's often easier to articulate physical pain than it is emotional pain. for lots of reasons. Mainly, I would say, because society has given a voice to physical pain that feels a lot more permissive than emotional. So we might say, for example, oh, you know, I've really bad shoulders, my shoulders are really hurting. But actually, if we can work through what that pain is actually telling us emotionally, it's probably a stress-related issue. It could lead then to a chronic anxiety disorder. It could become an overwhelming depression if the root problems aren't addressed. And I think one of the other things that's really important to recognize is that very often we don't know what they are. That's okay. We're none of us, you know, so absolutely in tune that we kind of go around naming our emotions the whole time. But the benefit of really working and processing with a therapist is understanding the unconscious. And that's something I'm really passionate about. I did my master's psychotherapy was a study into the unconscious mind. And so what we do in relation to what we think unconsciously, and how really getting to grips with what's going on can support us in our choices, especially when we are in high stress, high management, high leadership roles. Really being able to do that work can be really freeing.
No, really, really, really fascinating. Rebecca, thank you so much for your thoughts so far. Fascinating as expected. but let's continue the conversation after this.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just joining in, we are joined by Rebecca Lisi, who has kindly agreed to join us to really talk about how to look after male business owners, which I think is a really, really interesting topic. Of course, I think we really want to stress it's really important to look after female business owners and everyone. But I think that this was a particular topic that across the last 200 odd shows, we've touched on a lot on mental health, but I think particularly male business owners, there's a huge amount of stats to say that if you're a male business owner, you are significantly less likely to go and ask for help. You're significantly more likely to take your own life, which is the most extreme part of that. So, Rebecca, I'm really keen to bring the conversation on to how to care for those who aren't us as non-professionals, if that makes sense. So if there's somebody listening right now, and there's someone in their network who they feel is having challenges, they feel that they are not themselves, they're working very long hours, they are stressed and they feel like they're struggling. What should they do about that? What's the first step?
So I think the first step is to not be afraid to have a conversation, whatever that may look like. It's really important to know that there's no right or wrong when it comes to talking to people about what they might be going through. It's not necessarily something that we're all comfortable with, maybe because of our own experiences with mental health, or, you know, maybe just because we haven't been brought up that way. And let's face it, most people haven't, or certainly older generations. I think absolutely the first thing is to make space for a conversation or just a check-in. If it's somebody that you're close to and you feel you've got that relationship, just start by saying, you know, what you've noticed and taking ownership of your own part in it. So, you know, I noticed that you've been a little bit distant recently. Is everything okay? You know, if you're in a workspace, that might look slightly different depending on your relationship. But I would say absolutely just if you feel that you're concerned about someone, reach out. Absolutely reach out. You know, it's one of those things that there really is no right or wrong thing to say. Just making it part of the conversation really is the key thing. There's all kinds of wonderful places that we can practically signpost people to. Of course, there's NHS services, there's private services, there's some wonderful charities locally that support mental health. But I think actually just showing up for each other is one of the most important things, and being confident to be able to offer that space.
They're really interesting. I think it's the time to move on to some of your corporate services now. I think we touched on them in the previous part, but I think that one of the things that I see within some big businesses is that they have an occupational health department, but within smaller businesses, they don't necessarily have that in place. So talk to me about some of the things that you can offer to smaller businesses, or indeed larger, and also the value of having that level of support for your team and indeed yourself.
Well, I really love working with the smaller businesses, because I come across individuals every day who have literally poured their heart and soul into their business. And I get what that feels like. I've done the same in my own journey. I think one of the things about being a business owner is, like I touched on earlier, is the pressure. And there's no kind of getting away from that. You know, no amount of therapy is going to remove the fact that, you know, the stress is there, the pressure is there. It's inevitable, but it's about how we manage it. And I'm really passionate about making this tools accessible in a really, you know, like I said earlier, down to earth, very practical way. One of the things I love about my job is that, you know, anybody can Google stress management techniques, hack your nervous system, but actually I've had the privilege of spending so many hours with people in private where they have been able to tell me exactly what's going on, and I've been able to navigate that process with them, that I can feed that into my workshops, that I can actually have an insight into what's actually going on, and I can kind of bring that into the workspace. It opens up a whole different level of conversation, actually. It invites that vulnerability. It invites that conversation about, okay, we're all going through this. This is what's happening. And actually, what do we want it to look like? This is where we are, and what do we want? And so in terms of my corporate work and my business stuff, it's very outcome focused. Okay. So we all know these days we want solutions. You know, I would love to say that we can sit and talk about things and analyze them till the cows come home, and there's huge value in that, don't get me wrong. But I also think in this fast-paced environment that we're in at the moment, there's so much value to having really practical strategies for managing our own stress. And that looks different for different people. And so all my trainings are bespoke. I typically, how I work is I offer a package to businesses where I will meet with them for an hour and really just listen during that time to what the issues are in the business. It might be that there are some communication breakdowns in the team. It might be that certain individuals are experiencing certain symptoms and they would like some support to address them. It can be that actually there's a work culture dynamic that doesn't work. And so after that kind of initial consultation, I'll talk about what sort of outcomes business owners are looking for. And then I really just go away. I use all my research from my master's degree and my many hours working with clients, and I will put together a bespoke training for those individuals in that workplace. Amazing. And I will really target in on what it is that they're looking to achieve. And I will provide practical support in the form of usually a one day or sometimes half a day training workshop. And that's delivered in person by me. That way, if there's anything that comes up, which sometimes, you know, we're talking about mental health, it can be triggering. And I think it's really important to be fully qualified to be able to hold that space in case stuff comes up that needs to be managed. And then after a workshop, I will typically follow up a few months later with another workshop. So what we know from a psychological perspective about learning is the importance of embedding the learning. So it's great to have that in place, but it's really important to have the follow-up as well, just so I can get a sense of what's worked, what hasn't worked, what maybe I can tweak, what other additional support I can offer. Very often after my workshops, somebody from the management team or HR will say that an individual is reaching out for some one-to-one support. So can we put in place, six sessions of individual support just to address an issue with them? And that's often a really, really effective way of working because it's opened the conversation. We've all been in the same room. We all know what's been spoken about, and there's no discomfort around, oh, I need to see a therapist. It's this, shameful, taboo thing. It's just, I feel like it's exercise for your mind. A lot of my friends, especially my male friends, wouldn't think twice about going to see a personal trainer for their physical fitness. And I think, what's the difference? We're just talking about a mental resilience, fitness, training, and it's rewiring our brains to think in a different way. So yeah, there's a lot in there, but it looks different depending on the different businesses as well.
Oh, absolutely. A phrase that I actually heard on this radio show probably 3 years ago, to be fair, was nobody wants to do a bad job. And actually, if that salesperson that's been the top performer, which is always a really easy analogy to understand, suddenly starts becoming late for work or suddenly stops selling as much, sometimes there can be a reason behind that. And I think that I would really urge employers to remember every part of your business is an individual with a brain, with emotion, and with thoughts. A phrase that I think so often comes out in my world as a recruiter when taking on roles with clients, but also as being used in this show, is the word resilience. If I had a pound for every client who asked me for a candidate with resilience, I'd be retired by now. But in all seriousness, how can you score resilience? How can you increase your resilience? And is it something you just have, or is it something that is it something you can learn?
It's a good question. It's definitely a word that gets thrown around a lot. I think resilience means different things to different people. For me, emotional resilience is really about understanding myself. It's about understanding my triggers. It's about understanding my capacity. It's about understanding when I need to take breaks. It's about listening and being in tune with my body. It's understanding things like when my stress levels go up and a lot of cortisol is being released, that I take shallow breaths and I find it difficult to stay in that space. And so understanding, like I said, about the nervous system and increasing what we call the window of tolerance is a key thing in terms of resilience. It's absolutely something that we can all learn. And I think we're all learning all the time different coping strategies. And for me, the focus is on finding the healthy ones, the ones that support us, that we can sustain long term. So, we all know that having a glass of wine at the end of the day can take the edge off a stressful day. But what I like to do is sort of break it down and say, okay, well, what's actually going on? Okay, so you're feeling this stress, that's cortisol. Okay, you've got too much cortisol. So how do we lower that cortisol without having to reach for a glass of wine, for example? Nothing wrong with obviously having a glass of wine. I'm not condemning that. But there are other ways of lowering our cortisol levels. So we all know things like healthy diet and exercise. But actually, I'm also really interested in things like human connection. And what we know about babies, for example, is that touch and being held and having eye contact with our caregivers reduces our cortisol levels. And this is a key part of understanding how we operate as human beings. And so, we learn resilience starts from the day that we're born. And unfortunately, not all of us have had the best beginnings in life. And that changes how we react as adults. I've worked with young people in very, very broken homes, and for whatever reason have been unable to regulate their nervous systems from a young age because that support hasn't been there. And very often I'll come across adults who are still struggling, and that's through no fault of their own. It's just something that's never been available to them. But actually, it's something that if you're working with a therapist or you're working with a mental health trainer, you can start to implement at any age. And it can be a really transformational experience, actually, healing a lot of stuff, even from way back in childhood.
No, really, 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 really insightful. Thank you. Let's go to another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I definitely, definitely recommend listening back to the podcast version when you have a chance. As today we're joined by Rebecca Lisi, who is an absolutely wonderful therapist based over in Wantage. And it does really, really great work supporting businesses and individuals with their mental health, but also as a psychotherapist, some really, really great added value there to make sure that we're heard and that we're able to show the very best version of ourselves. Rebecca, I think that I'm really keen to really focus on the topic, if that's okay, in terms of male business owners, because I think that there's a lot of people that listen to this show that are really that are male business owners, and I think that often feel as if they can't show vulnerability to their team. I think that that is a very common trait, that you need to lead from a front. You need to you need to be strong. You need to deliver. What's your views on that? And do you see that trait in certain male business owners that you've come across?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a huge pressure coming from society, for male business owners to be seen as, having it all together, to be extremely strong, showing no signs of weakness. And actually, that is a narrative that I would love to change. For me, it's not about weakness. It's not about strength. For me, it's about just being human, actually, and accepting the fact that we are human. We all have a certain capacity, but we also have a right to have some vulnerability, whatever that looks like. And I think, especially if we're talking about role models and leaders, I can't help but think about certain presidents who are in power and what sort of message they might be sending. But for me, actually, there's something about showing vulnerability that shows enormous strength. We are all human, we're all wired the same way at the end of the day. And actually, if I was being led by somebody, I would love to know that they are sharing some vulnerabilities that I might be experiencing too. There is so much that we communicate implicitly, and explicitly, but it's that implicit communication that I'm really tuned into as a therapist, and just being able to make space for that. I'm not suggesting we all kind of go around the office going, oh, I've got all these woes and this is going on, but actually just being able to drop our guard and just connect on a really human level, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like a big sigh of relief for everybody. This sort of I must have it all together, it's archaic. It's not what we're doing anymore. We need leaders. We need people who can be vulnerable, who can accept when they've made a mistake or things haven't gone the way they wanted them to, or they've needed support in a certain area. But because that's just about being human, and it sends a really important message to everyone, especially the next generation. As a mother, something I model to my son is getting it wrong. and that being okay. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's really, really interesting. As regular listeners will know, I love a football analogy. And actually, I think it's so regular. You see a football team get stronger after having a couple of losses. And actually, it's almost a good thing to lose at points, isn't it? It's a good, because then you learn how to grow. I think we've all seen the teams, to continue with the football analogy, then I promise I'll move on, Rebecca. I think we've all seen the teams that go on that winning run, and then just gradually get weaker and weaker because you get complacent. So no, really, really good advice there. Just in terms of workload, it's something that I'm keen to work on or to talk about. Something you mentioned earlier was about health. And about looking after your mental health and your physical health, and it just being unsustainable to not do that. There's, as business owners, and I'm really keen to move away from the word male, but just as business owners, I think there's such a tiny percentage of us who haven't had those days where we're working until midnight, haven't had those days where we're getting up really early and doing silly hours. What do you do in those scenarios where you really don't have a choice to work really long hours for a period? And how do you break that cycle? And how do you focus on getting your business to the point where you don't need to do that, or having that ability to say no?
It's a really good question. And it's something that I come across very, very regularly with my clients, because the reality is, if somebody's coming to me and they have got an extreme deadline and the pressure is on, you know, me, you know, it's no good saying, well, go and take 2 hours and do yoga. If anything, that's going to make their nervous system feel even more panicked. So actually, the key for me is about integrating pockets throughout the day of space. And that can be, it can be a couple of seconds. It can literally be a case of, so one of my favorite things to do, for example, when I feel overwhelmed and I've got no time, or I feel like I don't have any time to take out, to take a break as such, is I'll just take a second just to actually focus on what's going on for me. And a really powerful thing to do is just to be able to attach a label to some of the feelings. And in doing that, they somehow lose their power as well. There's a sort of dilution that goes on when you just stop and recognize what's going on for yourself and unapologetically just say, I'm here, I'm in this space, this is what's happening, and just allow yourself just to take a minute, just to step back, to just fully zoom out, have that moment of clarity, and then by all means zoom on back in, because you know the work needs to be done. But taking these minutes out, it is really, really vital. It's a mini nervous system reset. And even in those moments, we're bringing our cortisol levels back down. I can't stress the value of holistically looking after ourselves enough. And I think this is stuff we all know. And, you know, even, you know, I can preach this stuff, doesn't mean that I always get it right. Of course, I don't. I'm a fallible human being. I'd love to say that I always have my five a day and I get the exact hour, many hours of sleep that I do. But, you know, reality kicks in. But I think there's something really important about understanding the foundations of what we need to function physically as human beings. And putting those things in place for ourselves are really the building blocks to good mental health. So I'm talking about things like eating properly, drinking enough water, sleeping when we need to, not relying on, you know, overly too much on stimulants like caffeine or alcohol, making sure that we take time to connect with people in our lives. I mean really connect, being able to put boundaries in place when we need to say no, and feeling okay about that. These are the things that, unless we have them in place, it's really, really difficult to work with the emotional side of our health. And the good news is those are things that make a really big difference once you start to make really small changes. So it's a lot of my clients who come with extreme burnout start putting in place some of those real sort of I don't want to say self-care because it's just been hijacked, that word, but actually looking after ourselves on a very practical level. And things turn around very quickly. That's the good news. Your nervous system automatically starts to respond and thank you. And so there's a lot of power in being able to do that as well. Yeah, I mean, this whole sort of self-care thing, it's not a term that I really use in my practice because I think a lot of us, when we think about self-care, we sort of think about lavender bubble baths and sort of having spa breaks and massages. And actually, that's not what self-care means to me at all. Self-care means taking a breath when I need one, stepping away and just literally having 30 seconds of sunshine. Making a phone call to a really good friend and just checking in and saying, oh my God, what's going on in your world? Because mine's nuts right now. Taking those small things, making myself a really nice meal that I know I will enjoy and make me feel good. That's what self-care really looks like.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about human beings, isn't it? Is that we are all unique, and what's right for you may be different for me, that may be different from all of our wonderful listeners listening at home. But no, really, really, really good advice. We are coming to the final stint, or the home leg of the show. But one of the things that we really do like to do with our guests is to share tips. And it feels as if I'm a bit of a fraud here because you've been sharing tips throughout the whole show. But is there anything you feel that we haven't spoken about, firstly, that you feel would be really useful for our listeners to maybe think about? Or is there anything that we have spoken about that actually, it would be really good for our listeners to get their notepad, because obviously they're all grade A star students with all of their notes from this show, and really kind of highlight it in their notepad.
I would say the biggest takeaway for me, if there's one thing that I would really like to get across to listeners, is consider how you could improve your mental health. First of all, just start considering, just start making space for that being an option. If we're thinking about in our teams, in our workplaces, what does that look like? Let's move away from the sort of tick box narrative of mental health training in the workplace or it being a HR problem or we must do this, we must do that. And let's actually just connect with ourselves and think about what works for us. Because there's no point doing any of this stuff unless it's good for you. So
Absolutely.
I would encourage everyone to, start with yourselves, looking at where you are right now, being really honest about how you feel your life's going and, whether you feel like there's room for some support and what that might look like. Having that conversation really openly and honestly, especially in the workplace, constantly reducing the stigma by talking about it and making it, an accessible conversation. And I would say reach out. Absolutely reach out. There are so many resources around. I mean, I post a lot on LinkedIn, different exercises, different ideas, different research. Really passionate about finding out what's going on in the world of research and making it accessible to my clients on a practical level. And I would say just in terms of an exercise, just a real sort of internalization focus, just where you do a little body scan. Just even start with your feet, scanning through your legs, all through your body, your hands, and just see where you're holding tension. It's often a really good place to start. Your body's fantastic. It will tell you everything you need to know. And once you start allocating where you're holding your tension, you can start being curious about what that is and what that looks like. And I would say, don't be put off by the whole psychotherapist, mental health trainer title. All therapists are people too. Most of us have been on a journey to get here. Any therapist worth their weight will have had therapy themselves. So we've all been there. We know what it's like to make yourself open and vulnerable to that. I would say that there's a lot that can be available to support you and your team, and just I would say reach out, have conversations, see what people are offering, and think about really just integrating that into part of your everyday life.
What great advice. What great advice. And what a great way to end the show. So firstly, Rebecca, thank you so much for your time and your contribution to what's been such an insightful hour that has gone so quickly. So thank you so much for that. And just a reminder, today we have been talking about how to look after male business owners, but I think we've covered so much more with Rebecca Lisi. Just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio and also at 11 a.m. and also online. Also, just a reminder, there is a podcast version available on every major podcast platform, which is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, which is released on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. Next week, we are going to be back with some brand new guests. And next week, we're joined by Danny and Alex, both of NGI Finance, and we're talking about Oxford Young Professionals. So a really interesting conversation for our next generation. But for whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire for now, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.